Welcome to the Broadcast Dialogue Podcast, the show all about the media industry in Canada.
Welcome to Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. I'm Sean Smith. Well, it's commonplace for Canadians to delve into American radio, but a little more rare for Americans to come north to Canadian radio. Larry Gifford is a senior program director with Corus Entertainment and News Talk 980 CKNW and AM 730 Traffic in Vancouver. In addition to being a News Talk radio consultant in his own right with Larry Gifford Media, Larry served for several years as program director of Cairo Radio in Seattle, and before that, he spent time with 710 ESPN and the ESPN Radio Network in Los Angeles. Larry, welcome. So, how did you make the move from the USA to Vancouver?
Well, it's interesting. I was at Cairo Radio in Seattle. I was the program director there. And when I was there, Arnie Selsey reached out to me. And Arnie wanted to send some of the Saskatchewan News Talk stations my way to observe what we were doing at Cairo. And so I developed this relationship with Arnie. And over the course of the years, I left Cairo and started a consultancy. And he recommended to Brad Phillips that I consult CKNW. So I became the CKNW consultant for several years. And then ultimately, Brad asked if I would be interested in taking on the job full time.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, that entails all sorts of, pieces that most people wouldn't think about that they have to contend with taking a job in a foreign country. How did you navigate all that? Did you make out okay?
Well, we made out all right, but it was a long process, I'll tell you. And so my family was living in Central Coast of California. So I'd be here for a week, go home for a weekend, come back for 2 weeks, go back for a week. I mean, it was about 8 or 9 months of back and forth. It racked up a lot of frequent flyer miles.
Right. That. Yeah. Now, the good news is that you're on this side of the fence now. And, you know, it looks like things might get a little tight in the U.S. for Canadians, what with the new administration and the clampdown on H-1B visas and so on and so forth. But you seem, I think you'll be in a good position. How are you taking to your new country?
I love my new country. We're getting along great in Canada. Everybody's been very friendly. It's great. I could use some more sunshine. Come from California,
yeah,
it's been tremendous, and every weekend is a new exploration. And I have a 7-year-old son, and my wife. We go and we explore different areas all the time, and we really enjoy discovering new cities. We've done it our whole lives together, and now we adventure into a new country, and it's exciting.
Now let me talk about Seattle for a minute. I'm very familiar with Cairo. From the time living there, also have been friends with several of the program directors there over the years, and one of my favorite radio stations ever. Remind me, had it already transitioned to FM when you got there?
So it had just transitioned to FM. Ryan Hatch took it from the AM to the FM. And I came on board. Ryan then moved to Arizona, to Phoenix within the company. And I took over Cairo, and we brought it back to number one, to great prominence.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was that shift from AM to FM? What did you learn, and what were you able to realize there in terms of the audience and so on with that shift?
Well, it's tough because changing people's habits is hard.
Yeah.
It takes a long time. And Cairo was an institution in Seattle for many years on the AM dial. And so for about 6 months, we simulcasted the signal and had constant reminders, hey, we're going to be switching to the FM. So you have to message it really well. And then one day we launched a sports station on the AM signal.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, what happened? Because
yeah,
as much as you tell people it's coming, they don't believe it, and then suddenly their station's gone. So there was a little dip in audience, because we were doing the simulcast, and so we were getting a true simulcast rating. And then once we went to FM only, it dipped. And so then we had to come back and, you know, rebuild the audience. But as we rebuilt the audience, we rebuilt it with a slightly younger demo, probably 10 or 15 years younger than it had been. Mm-hmm. And FM talk works. I mean, but it's, you've got to be ready for it. It's got to be dynamic. It's got to be compelling. It's got to be, you know, part of the city. It's got to be the heartbeat of the city. You can't just put on a bunch of syndicated talk on the FM because right. it feels like AM content. Mm-hmm. So you get guys like Ron and Don, who were FM hosts and sports talk hosts, and they've got this real great dynamic and stir things up. And Dory Monson, who's this loudmouth sports guy who's
he's gone great.
Into politics. And the station didn't have a political bent. We intentionally set out to not look at things through the lens of politics, per se, although we would talk about politics. We wanted to tell stories. Mm-hmm. So we focused on storytelling. And focused on what is Seattle and how does this affect Seattle instead of what's the right versus the left. And I think that's the difference, you know, and that's what we're doing here at CKNW as well. It's mm-hmm. not about the politics as much as it's about the storytelling and about the community.
Mm-hmm. What did you see in Seattle in terms of the ratings, the makeup of the audience, you know, when you were talking about local issues as opposed to politicized viewpoints?
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, you know, the Seattle and Tacoma are together in one market. We were in Seattle in a really urban area, and then there was Tacoma, which was blue collar. So we were near, like, you know, Amazon and Microsoft and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so our worldview was a little different than what our audience was. So we actually had to drive around in the States. You can find out where the meters are in which zip codes. Uh-huh. So I would actually drive around to the different zip codes and look in the neighborhoods to figure out what the lifestyle of our audience was. And, you know, what we saw every day outside of our windows wasn't who was listening.
Right.
So we had to make a conscious effort to reflect their life and what's interesting to them versus what we experience on a day-to-day basis going to work. Hmm. So that was really fascinating. It was more blue collar than we wanted to believe.
No, when you're looking out over Lake Union and you're in the Uber, urbane lifestyle of downtown Seattle, it's hard to imagine what's happening in Kent or Tacoma or Everett or wherever. Yeah. So how did you find the transition then to CKNW? It seems to me like, we often say in Canada that, you know, we find commonalities geographically north to south as opposed to east to west. So we often think of ourselves as having more, at least on the West Coast, more in common with a Seattle or a Portland or San Francisco than we do perhaps a Calgary or a Winnipeg or what have you. Do you find that to be the case? And what did you have to do in terms of your culture hat when you arrived here?
Yes, I do experience that, where there is sort of a West Coast bent. So, you know, my wife and I have lived most of our adult life on the West Coast, from California up to Seattle, now up to Vancouver. And there is a familiarity there. And there's, you know, there's a mindset. And it's much more, you know, people are more relaxed or more accessible. Where on the East Coast, everybody's in a hurry and really busy. Not that people aren't busy here, but it's just a different pace. People like to go outside and experience life. And so it's just a different culture. And I think it's a West Coast culture versus an East Coast or Midwest or Central or South culture. To transition to Vancouver, really, it's actually much more multicultural than I'm used to. In the States, it's noticeable when there's different cultures. In Vancouver, it's just a way of life. Where in the States, you know, it's a very conscious thing. And that was different for me in a very positive way. And just understanding the passion of the listener. The listeners are much more connected to their radio stations in Canada than they are in the United States. So they feel ownership of what we're doing, and I hear from them every day.
And what is the feedback that you get from those listeners?
It varies. It usually goes something like, it's not as good as it used to be.
That's a particular age group too, right?
Well, sure. But you know, you could harken back to 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 25, 30 years, all the different sets. You know, we remember things better than they used to be. Uh-huh. I think CKNW is doing outstanding work. I'm really proud of how we've really, you know, succeeded over the course of the last couple of years and continue to grow the share and the audience. And you know, it's really been a huge collaboration with this team, and we're about something. CKNW now has a pulse and a beat and a swagger and has stories to tell. And we're about something every day. Where when I first started consulting CKNW, it wasn't as focused. What I really tried to do was focus people on not just relaying information, but telling stories and connecting with the audience. And we really focus around, at any given moment, we're about five stories. Okay. And so, and we collaborate between news and talk on what those five things may be at any given time. And they'll switch throughout the day. But instead of saying, hey, we're about anything and everything, CKNW is about something at all times. And that's been sort of a mindset switch. And it's really been effective in what we're doing. And we're doing a lot of enterprise reporting. So we're not necessarily reacting to the news of the day. We're trying to set the agenda for Vancouver.
And irrespective of politics, so you could be, you know, one story one day could be sort of a more conservative, you know, story, but another one could be more liberal.
Right. And every day, all of our talk show hosts get emails, some saying they're too liberal and some saying they're too conservative and some saying they're in the NDP's pocket. So, right. And as long as we keep getting responses like that every day from all different sides, I think we're doing our job.
How do you feel about CKNW, the place in the market, versus, say, CBC, Radio 1? Where do you see those? How would you position those in your mind?
Well, you know, I don't pay a lot of attention to what CBC's doing. I respect what they do. But for me, I'm in the commercial radio marketplace. So we're trying to attract audience and advertisers. On a day-to-day basis, I'm not paying a lot of attention to what they're doing.
Right.
Because I want us to focus on what are we and what do we need to do today to be CKNW instead of how do we react to the people and the things around us. So for my take, I think CKNW is poised really well. John McComb's been number one for the last two books in both adults 25-54 and adults 35-64. So I'm not just competing against the CBC. I'm competing with every commercial radio station in this marketplace, and we're seeing great success.
Tell me about the TV on radio experiment with the Global News Hour on at 6 p.m. How? I mean, it's not a new concept. It's been done before many, many times. How have you managed to make it such a success?
Well, interestingly enough, you know, we were kicked around the idea for a while, and then when the merger happened, when you know, Chorus and Shaw joined forces, and Global and CKNW really started to integrate, I said, let's try it. But in order to do it right, we need to talk to the TV news reporters and anchors, and let them know they're going to be on radio, and train them up a little bit about, you know, we can't just throw to a clip. We have to identify the person who's speaking in some way, or we can't say just look at this. So you can say look at this, but then you have to describe to me what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still going through some of those growing pains, but it's getting better and better. And we're seeing, you know, depending on the month, depending on the book, from adults 25-54, we're growing that hour share by 100%, 200%, 400% sometimes. I mean, it's getting a 12 share at night some days. I mean, think about the resources that go into the Global News Hour at 6 o'clock for TV. I mean, there's a lot of great journalists, and they know how to do great production. And what surprised me more than anything, and I monitored it before we put it on the air for about 3 months, it just took notes, and it 75-80% of it translated every night without any tweaks. And it's audio rich. And I don't even think TV thinks about the audio as much as radio would, but when it comes out on the air, it's really audio rich, and it like jumps off the radio. It's a great experiment, and we're excited about it.
Do you often wish that maybe there was an FM stick that you could stick this radio station on?
Oh my God, do I ever. When I first got here, I didn't understand the 2-and-2 rule. Talking to Brad Phillips, I'm like, come on, let's just get an FM stick. He goes, not that easy.
Not that easy. And not that easy in this particular geographical area, abutting right up against the United States, where the slots are just so limited. Even if you got one, you might end up with 1,500 watts.
Yeah, right. But what we do have is we have the HD2 on the 101.1 FM.
Uh-huh.
Which people are like, yeah, HD radio, whatever. It's actually made a difference. And what we're finding is Dustin Collins, who's the program director of Rock 101, he and I, we evaluate our ratings and we look at the numbers a lot. And what we're finding, we're sharing a lot of audience now, more than we ever have before. And we have to believe there's some P1 listeners that are, you know, meter holders that are on HD, that are flipping back and forth more often than they used to go from AM to FM.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing the impact of putting our signal wherever we can put it so people can consume it the way they want to. Mm-hmm. So whether that's, you know, through the app or Radio Player Canada or through the website or through HD or over the regular radio, wherever we can be, we want to be, and we'll continue to press that. You know, we want to be on Alexa. We want to be everywhere.
Right. Well, that brings me to, you know, and it, by the way, it does sound spectacular on Radio Player Canada app. I mean, it really does. It makes me think, you know, when I moved to this city 21 years ago, another place that it traditionally had sounded amazing was in the concourse of what was then GM Place, which is now Rogers Arena, in between the periods of the hockey game. They used to pipe CKNW back when they carried the games. And I always thought, wow, this is a station I could listen to. But for the fact that I lived downtown and AM was always, you know, an issue back in the day. But I do believe, and I am a proponent of the idea, that any of our legacy AM radio stations in this country should, you know, have an opportunity to be on FM. You know, and there are markets in the country now where there are no more AM stations.
And I had an older listener call me the other day, and she was distraught because she's been listening to CKNW forever, and her parents listen to CKNW. I mean, she's probably 80 or something, and she lives downtown. And she goes, every year it gets worse and worse. I can barely hear the radio anymore, and I don't know what HD is, and I don't have an app thing. And you know, you could tell she was not technologically savvy. And she goes, you can't find HD radios anywhere. So I just bought her one, and I sent it to her house. Because you know, it's important to take care of the legacy listeners, because you know they've helped pave the way for us being a great radio station. And so, you know, anytime I can introduce somebody to a new way to listen to CKNW, so it's a better experience, I want to do that.
That's awesome. Any other digital, you know, innovations that you see on the horizon?
Well, you know, I'm a big proponent of podcasting. I have a podcast, Radio Stuff Podcast. I'll give it a little plug here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And here at the radio station, I'm encouraging producers and board operators and news anchors and reporters, if they have a passion for something, to create a podcast. And so we have some original CKNW podcasts now. And I did that in Seattle too with Cairo Radio. And we developed a bench strength for talk show hosts and for people that wanted to be on the air. And it gave people an opportunity to be more creative. And I just think it's a great development tool, because like when I started in the business, I was the weekend overnight guy on a full service station.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the weather and the traffic and the news and played songs and took phone calls, and you do it all. But that shift doesn't exist anymore.
No, that's right.
We have to give the young talent that are interested in radio, that are in our buildings now, an opportunity to grow and to find their way in our business. Because if we don't give them those opportunities, they're going to go someplace else. They're going to go to Google. They're going to go to Apple. They're going to find somebody who is interested in what they think.
I love it. Well, listen, Larry, I really appreciate you spending some time today, letting us know a little bit about, you know, who you are and how the experience has been to transition from American to Canadian radio, and also transitioning from, you know, more traditional, you know, broadcast paradigm into the digital world. So thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much. And I appreciate everybody in Canada who's in radio, who has the IQ for radio. There's a lot of people in the States who are in radio, but there's not a lot of people that can talk at the intelligence level about radio like the people in Canada can. So it's a pleasure to work in Canada.
Awesome, Larry. Thanks. Larry Gifford is program director with 980 CKNW and AM 730. He joined us from Vancouver.
Thanks for listening to Broadcast Dialogue. For more information about the podcast or to receive exclusive access to our weekly briefing about the Canadian media industry, visit us at broadcastdialogue.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, connect with us on LinkedIn, and follow us on Twitter and SoundCloud.